Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Isaiah, chapter 14. We'll read verses 12 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here in this place. Thank you that it's quite obvious that your Spirit has been here again this evening. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, we serve a real God, but we also face a real devil, and you know that. We need your help. So, Father, please fill our preacher with the words that we need to go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated.
I announced this morning the title of the sermon of this evening is called, I Wish You Were Like Satan. My wife said, honey, when you put that up on the internet, people just aren't going to understand. But I think you'll understand as you hear the sermon. Let me start out by saying this. I am against any form of Satan worship, any form. I'm against satanic music. I'm against satanic churches. I'm against tarot cards. I'm against the Ouija board. I'm against witches. I'm against Witch Hazel. They watch Witch Hazel. Little boy said, why are you putting that on your face, Mama? She said, because it changes my face. He said, Mom, you need to stop putting on so much. It's really doing its job. I don't know if it's supposed to turn you into a witch or what. But I'm against the fortune tellers and anything having to do with the occult of any kind. Halloween and I don't mix real well. I'm for the harvest time, but I'm real cautious about that they call a holiday. But I want you to see something this evening that I think you will see as I saw it when I was looking at my opponent, my adversary, the devil. Satan at one time was in heaven, and he was one of God's primary angels there. But because of his pride, as we just read in Isaiah 14, because of his pride, he became disloyal to God, and his pride was lifted up, and as a result of it, he was cast out of heaven. Now, the title of the sermon is, I Wish You Were Like Satan. Now, there's some parts of Satan I don't want you to be like. For instance, Satan is a liar.
Right.
I don't want you to be a liar. To lie is the opposite of the truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth. I think one of the worst things that a Christian can do is lie, because it's so opposite of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be a thief. I don't want you to steal. Jesus is a giver, and Satan, he's a liar, and as he's busy lying to you, then he'll steal from you the things that you need to be a success in life. I don't want you to be like him in that aspect. I don't want you to be a thief. I don't want you to be a liar. He is an afflicter. He hurts people. I don't want you to be like that. Satan is a fan of the sodomite movement, and I'm not, and neither is God. And so I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be a promoter of immorality. Satan is. So I don't want you to be like him in that aspect. I don't want you to be a liar. I don't want you to be a thief. I don't want you to be one that afflicts other people. I don't want you to be a promoter or a fan of the sodomite movement or a promoter of immorality. Satan is the marriage destroyer. See, that's the real enemy. Satan is the one that is the enemy of the marriage and the home, but I don't want you to be like that. Satan is the one that's behind every church split. Any split that's ever been in any church, somewhere behind the scenes, you have old smutty face doing his work. I don't want you to be like that. Satan is the rebel. He's the rebellious one. I don't want you to be like that. It is Satan that is the accuser of the brethren. I don't want you to be like that. He is the one, if at any time, you or me, if we're not submissive to God or to the authorities that God places in our life, that lack of submission, you you can find its roots in Satan somewhere. He is against proper submission, and he is the one that spoils it and foils God's plan. I don't want you to be like that. But wait a minute. I got to looking at Satan. You know, as you read the passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter number 14, he talks about exalting himself to the throne of God. He's got some big dreams. Now, his dreams may be wrong dreams, but at least he's got some big dreams. There's something about that that I admire. I admire the loftiness of his desire. I think the loftiness of his desire was wicked and rotten. But I'd hate to think that Satan had a dream of doing something or being something, and his ability to dream and desire to achieve would be a greater desire than the desire of the child of God. I think we ought to desire some things. I got to looking at Satan, and I began to admire some of the qualities that you see he practices in his, if you will, ministry. Did you know something? Satan's a success.
Right.
Have you ever noticed how successful he is?
Sure.
Look at this world. Right. Look at the mess in the churches in the United States of America.
Right. Yeah.
Look at our public school system.
Yes, sir.
Look at our society and its morality, and look at Hollywood, and look at it all. And somebody said to me, you know, for the Lord, you're saying Satan is a success. Is that right? Well, he sure is getting the job done.
Right.
And I got to thinking about that, and I said to myself, my goodness, does Satan have some of the characteristics for his cause that you and I should have for the cause of Christ? And indeed, I would say this evening, there are some areas in life or in his ministry I wish we'd get some of those qualities that he so well demonstrates. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, let me tell you. He has courage.
Right.
Satan has courage. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, let me explain something to you. The Bible says here that Satan is like a roaring lion. You know, we give the lion, he gets credit for courage. The Bible's saying here that Satan has a lot of courage for his cause. Sounds like something you and I need, huh? Sounds like if you and I would get the kind of courage for Jesus Christ that Satan has for all the demons of hell, we might get something done for God. You ever stop to look at how bold the devil is? You ever stop to think about? I mean, he actually got up in God's face and said, I'm going to take you down. Well, you know what? Some of you better decide. You better say to the devil, you're not getting me, and have a little courage about taking a stand against him. He dead sure is taking a stand against you.
Yes, sir.
He'll stand right up to you. I mean, look at the devil's crowd. Stop and look at our society. There's some people that came out of the closet that shouldn't have.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But they've got courage.
Right.
We need to get some courage about ourselves. We need to, hey, we need to get the kind of courage at least that the devil has. And he, like a roaring lion, boy, does he roar aloud out of Hollywood. Boy, does he roar aloud in the press. Rise up, Christian. Get the courage of at least the devil. I got to looking at the qualities that make him a success at his evil, vile, nasty ways. And I thought it would be sad if born-again Christians did not develop those qualities that the devil sees are necessary to his own filthy success. He has courage. Secondly, he is a tireless worker for his cause. I was reading in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10 says this, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God night and day. Or it says day and night. Do you understand? The one that is the accuser of the brethren, he was so busy doing his work, he did it day and night. He stayed at it. Day and night. Day and night. I've got a feeling that Satan was and is tireless about getting the job done for the world of evil. It seemed to me like you and I, we ought to become tireless workers for good. Tireless workers for the cause of Christ. If I preach over 10 minutes, do you get your feathers ruffled? Satan, day and night, is busy trying to accuse you to make you look bad to God and accuse me, make me look bad to God. Day and night, he's trying to take little boys and get them involved in pornography and incest. And day and night, he pumps out his filthy music. And day and night, he's producing liquor. And day and night, he's producing drugs and putting them on the street. And boy, our church service can go over 10 minutes and you say, boy, I can't believe he went so long. Day and night. You see, I think it wouldn't hurt you and I that we become a little less tireless for the cause of Jesus Christ. Hey, to give up a couple of hours to go soul winning and you say, I just can't afford that in my week. Hey, Satan affords it. The devil's workers avoid it. They're working day and night for their cause. Oh, to come to Kids Crusade, is it a sacrifice? No, it is an honor. And when you stop and look at the character of Satan, here he is. He's got courage. Are you exercising courage to stand up to the world, your friends, and even family? Satan does. He is a tireless worker for his cause. Have you decided to be tireless in your desire to serve God? I went on and I thought, what else? Once I got to thinking about this, and to be honest, the whole thought came when I watched him set a lofty goal, a wicked, rotten lofty goal. But I said, my, at least he applies himself.
Right.
Number three, he's willing to change for his cause. I read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know what it's telling us here? He's willing to change to get the job done. He's willing to go to whatever extreme it takes to get what he wants for evil. He wants to advance his influence, and so he says, I'm not above changing me to become as evil as I need to, or to become whatever I need to be used of evil and wrong. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to change whatever you need to change to be used of God? Does Satan have more drive and desire? Is he more moldable and pliable for the sake of evil, then you are moldable and pliable for the sake of good? What are you not willing to change for God for the sake of good? What is it? And what's your hang-up? What's your hold-up? I would think that all of us would want to learn maybe a little lesson from Satan himself here. He says, I am willing to be transformed to get the job done for evil. I would think all of us ought to be willing to be transformed for God so we can get the job done. Think of how weird people are willing to be on the devil's side. Have you stopped and looked at how weird people can get today? I mean, they can paint their hair about 15 different colors, spike it up, make themselves look like a porcupine, get tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom of their body, pierce everything that is loose enough to stick a pin through it, and dress in clothes that are outrageous. They're not embarrassed. That's what they're going to do. That's what they believe. But you and I, we're not willing to be transformed for the cause of Christ. Why wouldn't we be willing? Satan is willing to do whatever it takes to get his job done. It seemed like you and I could learn a little lesson from old Smutty Face himself. And so, he's got courage, do you? He is a tireless worker, are you? He is willing to be transformed for his cause, are you? I noticed something. He fears God. Do you? James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. He trembles. He trembles. Did you know that when you go against God, you should tremble? Or is God buddy-buddy to you. He's the old man upstairs. You have no real reverence for what he really is. He is a holy and a mighty and a powerful God. Don't you get this idea because he is a God of mercy that he is not a God of judgment. This whole world is going to find out someday about that judgment for rejecting Jesus Christ. And I'm not a judgment monger or a hate monger. I don't work like that. I don't go around talking about how rough God is on people all the time. I believe he's a loving God, but I also believe this. He hates wrong. And when this whole world gets to thinking that we can run wild and live any way we want and do anything we want and act any way we want, and we'll just take advantage of the grace of God and spit in his face while we live like animals, the judgment of God's going to fall. It's going to happen. And the Bible says that the devil trembles. When we do wrong, we ought to tremble at the thought that we have gone against the Holy One. Boy, I see some qualities in the devil that you and I may need to develop ourselves. I see that we need some courage. I see that we need to be tireless workers for the cause of Christ. I see that we ought to be willing to be transformed or changed to serve our God. And I see that we need to reestablish the fear of God in our lives. I like this next one. He's loyal. Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, listen to this verse. And if Satan cast out himself, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? Here's the story. A demon-possessed person had been brought to Jesus. Jesus casted out that demon. A Pharisee says, he is doing that in the power of Satan. And Jesus said, if Satan cast out, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? Jesus said, Satan would not cast out a demon. What's he saying? Satan is loyal to his cause. He's loyal to his cause. Satan would not cast out Satan. Demons would not cast out demons. Wrong would not cast out wrong. Why? Because wrong has enough good sense to be loyal to wrong if wrong is going to have victory.
Right.
Now, it would seem like those of us that believe in right would have enough sense to be loyal to right so right can have victory. Satan would not hurt his own cause with disloyalty to his cause. Satan would be loyal to his leadership because he knows if he turns on his wrong leadership, then wrong won't have victory. Boy, for some reason, Christians can't learn that. Why shouldn't we be loyal to our leadership and loyal to the leading of God and loyal to the cause of Christ? How will right prevail if we're disloyal to right? He's loyal. It is sad to think that Satan would practice more loyalty than people in fundamental Baptist churches. Sad. That's sad. You see, I wish we were like Satan. I see some qualities here that are incredible. If you and I would get as serious about what we do and what we are for God as Satan is about what he does for wrong, we'd turn this world upside down. That's why he's turning it upside down for himself. He has courage. He's tireless. He will transform himself for his cause. He fears God and he practices loyalty that is perfect to the cause. Number six, he gets fired up for his cause. That's not a pun on words there. Revelation 12:12 says, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. There it says great wrath. You know what that means? He's fired up. There's an urgency about him. He comes down with great wrath. He's in a hurry. He knows he's got to get the job done. He gets excited about his work. I don't think Satan is lethargic about his service to wrong. I don't think Satan is numb. I don't think when Satan gets all the demons of hell together in their congregation, they all walk in and they stayed up all night watching TV so they can't stay awake during the service. I think they're all in there and they're pumped up and they're fired up. They're saying, we're going to go get them. We're going to mess up this world. We're going to mess up their family. We're going to mess up their kids. We're going to mess up their mind. We're going to steal their purity. Everybody got it. Let's go, 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 go. And they take off and they go get something done. But the average church and the average Christian is, I've heard all this before. Same old, same old. You're startled just long enough to try to turn the volume down and then realize you're not at home with the television and you don't have a remote control for me. It says here, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. He comes down having great wrath. He gets wound up for his cause. He gets excited about wrong. He gets fired up for wrong. He gets cranked up for wrong. He says, I'm going to do wrong. I'm going to do all the wrong that I can do. I'm going to do hurtful things and all the hurtful things I can. I think we could learn something from that.
Right.
What would happen if we would have great expectations and great drive for the things of God. Number 7, he's faithful. Did you know Satan's faithful? Brother Brad, I'm going to turn this mic on. Did you know something? Satan has never missed Sunday school. I will guarantee it. He wants to be there every week. He's got little gold stars more than any Christian has ever had on their chart. Why? He's there to do his job. He has Sunday school responsibilities. And that is to get people to pick their face and wipe it underneath the chair, to count the number of lines in the paneling, or count the bricks in the wall. He's got to get them to do anything other than listen to the Sunday school class. Listen to the Sunday school lesson. Satan has a perfect Sunday school attendance.
Right.
Think about it. Think he's ever said, I don't think I'll go this week. Stay home. No, he is faithful to Sunday school.
Right,
I'd like you to become like Satan. He's faithful to Sunday morning church. Never missed a service. Guaranteed. He's at church every Sunday night. He's at Young Fundamentalists every Sunday night. He's at King Kids every Sunday night. He's at church every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, he never misses. He's got his place. He'll be here. You can count on him. No excuses made, because he is faithful. Is he more faithful to church than you are? Is Satan coming to church more than you? Isn't that sad? Just the thought of it. Every time the hinges creak on the church door, he comes a running. He misses no activities. He misses nothing. Brother Bajet, he'll be here all week long at the kids' crusade. He'll be at choir practice every week. He won't miss. He'll be here. Oh, and I understand sickness, but he doesn't. He'll come even if he's not feeling well. Guarantee it. He has a temperature. He'd go to Miss Satan and say, am I hot? She said, you're burning up. He's faithful. He's at soul winning every week. Never misses. Never. Huh, what a quality. You see, I think Satan, he has these characteristics about him, and because he practices these characteristics, if you will, he is successful at taking this whole world down the tubes. What a mess we have. Why? Because of some of these characteristics that you and I should be developing for Jesus Christ. He has courage. He is tireless. He is willing to transform himself for his cause. He fears God. He's loyal to the nth degree. He gets fired up for his cause. And he's faithful. He is willing to be deep for his cause. Revelation chapter 2 verse 24 says, as many as have not known the depths of Satan. He's very deep. Satan is very deep into his work. Are you deep into your work for God? Or are you shallow? Satan is deep in it. He's in deep. He means it. Everybody knows he means it. And he is very deeply involved in his work. He's committed to it. He's a part of it. Let me ask you this. Are you deeply involved? Or are you shallow? Someone said something to me, and I love this. there was someone in the church that had been gossiping, and somebody said this to me. They said, I was a little fearful because one of our good members had gotten around somebody that's just got a negative, bad, nasty attitude, and I was a little fearful about it. But another person said to me about this good person, not the gossip, but about this good person, said, don't you worry, they'll pull away. They are deeply committed to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I thought, well, I like that. You'll know who's deeply committed and who's not. Are you? Are you deeply committed to the things of God? Are you deeply committed to your church? Are you deeply committed to the Bible? Are you deeply committed to prayer? Are you deeply committed to the things you're supposed to do for God? I know Satan is, because the Bible says as many as have not known the depths of Satan. He's deep about his commitment. How deep are your roots for the things of God? What's it going to take to blow you away? Blow you up the road? But he's deeply committed. Get this. He's a recruiter. He's a recruiter. Revelation 13:4 says, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. You know what the Bible says? There are a bunch of people that were worshipping the dragon. Have you ever noticed how many people Satan has recruited through the years? He's quite a recruiter. He's a go-getter. We've been busy trying to win souls. He's winning some of his own. Winning them to himself, to his cause. He has recruited worshipers, and I'm not just talking about that go to satanic churches. He is constantly recruiting any of us to do any part of his work he can convince us to do. Always recruiting. Always trying to recruit your influence and recruit you away from the things that are right. Look at the effort he puts into getting people away from God. Look at the effort that he puts into recruiting people out of the church. He is busy all night, Saturday night, coming up with all your excuses for Sunday morning. He is up late. Get up Sunday morning and he's passing it out, sticking in the mailbox of your mind. Here's your excuse. Here's your excuse. Here's your excuse. This is what you got to do. This is where you got to go. This is why you can't be at church. This is why you can't be there. Here, try this. Try that. I gave this to the guy across the street last week. It worked just fine. It justified everything in his mind. He is so busy keeping you busy, so busy you can't serve God. Whew. He is a busy man. He's a recruiter. Hey, are you a recruiter? Are you a recruiter for Jesus Christ? You telling others about Jesus Christ, trying to recruit for heaven, getting people born again, getting them saved? Are you a recruiter for Sunday school? You ought to be. Well, I'll tell you what, you ought to be inviting everybody to your Sunday school class. Say, I don't have one. Well, get you one. Which one? I don't know. Just get you one. You ought to be a recruiter for Sunday morning church. There's some people that should be here tonight that are not here. You know what we all need to do? We need to recruit the people that only come on Sunday morning to come on Sunday night. Let's be a recruiter. Satan recruited them, though. We ought to be recruiting people to be here on Wednesday night. We ought to be a recruiter. We ought to be recruiting people to, hey, our bus routes, we go out and recruit. We're recruiting constantly. We ought to be recruiting people to be here for soul winning. Are you a recruiter? Satan is. And he is quite a recruiter. He goes after it. See, he's got these qualities. And for some reason, I admire the tenacity. I mean, he has courage. He is a tireless worker. He's willing to transform himself, change anything that needs to be changed. He fears God. He is loyal to his cause, though the wrong cause, he's loyal to it. He gets fired up for his cause. He's faithful. He's willing to be deep for his cause. He is a recruiter for his cause. Get this. He and his followers use their finances for the cause. Any of you ever stop and think how much money is pumped into evil? Really think about that. Do you know the single largest money-making industry in America today, I'm told, is pornography? Think people are pumping money into wrong? Hey, are you as passionate about your giving to right as those people with the big bucks out there pumping it into wrong and their pornography kingdoms? Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, "And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou shalt fall down and worship me." You know what? Satan, being the prince of this world, John chapter 12, verse 31, he tried to entice Jesus. He said, "Look here, Jesus, I've gathered all these things around the world. I'm willing to give you all my riches to get you to do wrong, Jesus." Have you noticed how much the devil gives trying to get you and me to do wrong? And then the Lord can ask us to just give a little smidgen of our money. We're offended with it. We can't figure it out. We're not willing to control ourselves about our own personal spending enough so that we could give God what we're supposed to give Him. And then we use the excuse, "Well, I can't." Well, you could if you just do right. God would never require you to do something without giving you the wherewithal to do it. That would make Him unfair. Therefore, whatever He is asking, there is a way to get it done. Think of the millions of dollars spent on booze. And the millions of dollars spent on just all the treatment of all the diseases for all the immorality. And we don't have any problem with this here. I don't take a bunch of special offerings, but you know, some preacher get up and say, "Well, we're going to have..." You ever heard of a give it all Sunday? That's where instead of giving one tenth, that you keep one tenth and give 90%. You say, "What?" I think Satan, he gives it all. He gives it all. Some preacher can get up and take some big whopping offering, try to raise some money, and everybody's offended. They think that is ridiculous. They think that is uncalled for. Stupid money-grabbing preacher. And the people that are out there selling booze and drugs and filth and pornography and the rock and roll music, they're pumping the bucks out by the billions to propagate their junk. And they're thrilled to do it. And we could be offended because we have a faith missions conference and try to get people to give extra money to win people to Christ on the foreign field. Think of the money the devil spends. I'll tell you this about him. He's not a quitter. Satan is not a quitter. You know, I'll tell you what, any of you athletic fans, let me tell you something about Satan. That I have a certain admiration. When a team is down and they're getting beat and it's bad, I hate it when the team that's getting beat just gives up. You play athletics around here, you'll play for our school, represent us well. We fight to the end. You're down by 40 points, you play, and you play hard, and you run your guts out, and you keep shooting the ball, and you keep passing the ball, and you keep playing hard. Let me tell you something about Satan. He is a loser. He's a loser, and he knows the Bible better than you. He's read the last chapter. He knows where he's going. He knows he's going to get beat. But can I tell you something about him? He's going to fight to the very end. He's going to play hard. Now, he's going to play dirty. He's going to play rough. He's a cheat. He's a liar. He's a sneak. He's a thief. He's wicked. He's vile. But I'll tell you what, he's got enough guts to say, "I may be going down, but I'll take everybody I can with me." I'm so tired of whiny baby Christians. Gets a little tough and they want to quit. You're the winner. The victory is yours. He's the loser. And he knows it. Revelation 12:12 says, "For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time." See, he knows he's only got a short time. The day's coming. He's going to be bound. He's going to be thrown into the hell that was made for him. He's going down. But you know something? He's running hard. He's running fast from the day till the very last moment before God and his angel throws him into hell. You know what we need to do, Christian? We need to rise up. We need to say, "I don't know what's coming my way, but I'll tell you this one thing. If the devil's fighting to the end, I'm fighting to God for the end." Rise up. Fight for your family. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your children. Fight for what's right. Fight for purity. Let's fight for, hey, fight for sobriety. Let's fight for morality in America. And fight to the end. See, Brother Owens, I'm feeling like the chips are down. You don't know what it means, chips are down. Wait until you're Satan and you know what you're doomed to face. But he's going to fight to the end. There's something about that. I say, you know what? I think us Christians ought to at least develop some of those characteristics. And we're the winners. I think losers would be the quitters. But in Christianity, we've got the winners being the quitters. He's a loser. He knows it. It's written. God said it. And if God said it, God meant it, it's going to happen. And Satan's going to fight all the way to the end. We're the winners. God said it. It's written. If God said it, it's going to happen. Victory is ours. And we're the ones that quit along the way. Stop coming to church, throw in the towel. Stop serving God. Stop doing right. Said, Brother Owens, I feel outnumbered. How do you think Satan feels? You know who he's up against? God. That is a pretty big obstacle. That would be like, I could bring Tom Williamson down here. And is Nathan Mowry here? Yeah. It's like David and Goliath. Satan doesn't have a chance. He feels outnumbered. He's underqualified. But he's got the tenacity to say, I'm fighting this thing to the end. I wish we did. Because the victory is ours. I looked through the Bible. And I searched and I tried very hard to find one place where Satan made up an excuse. I could not find any excuses by Satan. The closest thing I could find is when he said to God about Job, he said, now you got a protective hedge about him and I can't get to him. But you know, I cannot find Satan making up any excuses as to why he can't get the job done and why he failed at this or failed at that. You know what? That's because he's not an excuse maker.
Right.
It'd be good for some of us to stop justifying our failures and making up excuses all the time. Just go get the job done. I wish, somehow, we could take these characteristics, and you know what? These are characteristics that he stole from God. He's seen them. He knew what it took to become successful. Isn't it sad he is following the qualities of God more than some of God's people are following the qualities of God? He's courageous. He's tireless. He's willing to be transformed for the cause of wrong. He fears God. He's loyal. He gets fired up. He's faithful. He is deep into his cause. He recruits. He's not willing. He is willing to invest all he needs to financially. And he's not a quitter. And he makes no excuses. There's a bunch of things about Satan I don't want us to be. But these qualities that he has borrowed from God, we ought to be developing them more than he is developing them. Hey, he's a success. He's a success at wrong, but he's a success. I'd like to see you become a success at right.